Thank you for joining me. This is the Bold Lines podcast, and I am your host, Travis Thompson. Today, we're going to be talking about faith versus spirituality in treatment and recovery. This is an interesting topic that I've thought long and hard about over the years, and something that I think might be able to help a lot of people as they understand their way forward in treatment, whether that's just therapy, whether that's inpatient or outpatient treatment, or even ways that they can consider their own growth through mental health and social struggles. So let me define, as we always do on this podcast, let's define our terms. Let's first start with faith. Faith is an engagement with a religious belief and social engagement. So what I mean by faith and how it affects people is when you take a religion such as Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, anything like that, and not only do you believe in the major tenets, but you also practice it in whatever prescribed fashion there is. Many people can say that they have a faith, but they don't actually live out the tenets of that faith. And without actually engaging in what that faith asks you to do is a little more spirituality, but I'll get there in just a second. So for religion, the faith aspect of this, I think a lot of it has gotten a bad reputation. A lot of research has actually shown us that an adherence to a religion, adherence to a certain sect of faith, actually increases your mental health outcomes, particularly around anxiety, depression, and social engagement. Religion is attributed to a set of beliefs and expectations, and therefore it gives people a framework to orient their lives. In most religions or faith-oriented atmospheres, there's a level of social engagement that's expected, as well as there's something outside of you that is either hoping for, demanding, expecting, whatever it is, something of you. You give a little piece of yourself away. And I know in the Western mind, that is sacrilegious. Actually, the cool thing is, in most of these religions, giving a little piece of yourself away in a little part of your autonomy to a higher power actually ends up lowering the amount of stress you place on yourself, whether that's through hope and faith or maybe just deferment of expectations. Religion actually can do us a whole lot of good. Now, obviously, there's negative things that have been associated, particularly with the practitioners of it. There are, of course, many scandals and stories that a lot of people know of different religious beliefs. Here's what I would say on the basics of that. If you are considering religion or faith of any kind, go to the books and the major proponents of them. Not necessarily who's popular, but who is widely accepted as sections of that faith, and whatever books that they hold as central. Those should be what you use to evaluate a religion. Now let's move to spirituality. Spirituality is something that has always existed, but it seems to have gotten more popular in recent years. Now, spirituality is different from religion. Spirituality is more individualistic and self-guided. When people talk about spirituality, it's almost as if they have an individual religion or personal expectations. This has gotten more and more popular over the years, and I think part of that is due to how people have been hurt or offended in religious settings. That might just be me over-assuming, although from a lot of people I've worked with in therapy, that's incredibly true. So whatever that is for you, or something that you could have considered, that's typically where a lot of spirituality comes from. Now, there are different directions or ideas on spirituality. As much as we want to say spirituality is individual, and for the most part it is, a lot of people who engage in spirituality get ideas outside of them. It's very rare that someone who believes in an element of spirituality has created their own little mini religion. Typically speaking, it has to do something with the universe or this sort of open idea of God or deity or higher power. Sometimes it involves nature, but whatever it is, it's something that you see inside of yourself that is separate from how other people engage. Now, there is a big difference in faith and spirituality and therapy, at least how I've seen it. Both belief systems have different ideas about how you get into it and how you get something out of it. And here's the basic way I'll explain this. Spirituality is easy to get into, but difficult to get something out of. On the other hand, faith and religion can be difficult to get into, but very easy to get something out of. Now, here's the reason that I think that that is. In spirituality, it's very self-guided. So it's very easy to just adopt the things that you think are comfortable or are reasonable. However, without that challenging from outside sources, it becomes very difficult to actually grow and flourish. On the other hand, religion can be something that seems to have a gateway or some sort of gatekeeping device or group of people. Whether or not that's useful or relevant is an entirely other topic by itself. But anyone who has engaged in religion for the first time can absolutely attest to it being something you have to engage intentionally. There can be a bit of a learning curve. However, after you get over that learning curve, it seems that religion and faith is something people can get more out of than spirituality. So to recap that, spirituality is easy to get into, but difficult to get something out of. Religion is difficult to get into, but easy to get something out of. Now, like pretty much all of the topics that we've been going over in this past few weeks, I want to bring this to therapy and what I've individually seen. In therapy, there can be drastically different points of views and outcomes in faith and spirituality. I think some of this you've probably gotten a hint out of from my explanation before, but I do want to outline this a little bit more in therapy. I tend to believe that faith is a little more useful than spirituality is. And I'll give you a reason for that. With a sort of framework in therapy, we can reference something. There's something that clients can do outside of session that tends to be self-guided and obvious. Any religion has an understanding of how you are a faithful adherent to it. And for some people, that's really easy to do, whether that's something they grew up with or it's just obvious in the world around them. On the other hand, spirituality is this sort of ambiguous thing to engage in therapy. There's not really anything to challenge. You just say, are you doing your spiritual practices? And the client can say yes or no, and there really isn't an argument about it. You kind of just have to go with it. So because of this difference, I decided to write another book, and it should be out by the time this podcast comes out. It's called To Those with Faith. Now, I wrote this from my own understanding of faith and religion, and I'll link the book here in the description and in the external links. But it came from my understanding of working with clients where they wanted to engage in faith in terms of their mental health and recovery, but they weren't quite sure really how to do it. So because I wrote this book, I'm hoping to give people a framework, at least in one direction of faith, so that they can open up their understanding of what a healthy faith could be, even if there's not some great conversion from reading the book, at least to understand that wherever you go in your faith journey, that there's something that can be useful for you. In therapy, though, I always remain curious about where people's faith in spirituality comes from. Sometimes it comes from pain or rejection from the past. Sometimes faith in spirituality comes from, well, that's just what I grew up with. I would argue neither one of those is actually helpful. Now, accessing that pain and dealing with it is, of course, something very important in therapy. But having pain be something that directs your faith and spiritual life ends up not being that helpful in the long run. I know that's totally a shocker. However, when I work with clients, I want them to identify it for themselves. Do I have a sense of faith? Yes. I'm not going to impose that on my clients. It doesn't do them any good to do so. I really want clients to make their own decisions outside of therapy, so I'm not going to start making them for them inside of therapy. So I want clients to identify these things for themselves. And what I have found is most people are actually spiritual to some degree. Now, people tend to pick what they like about certain faiths or certain practices that they see. This can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you take things that are positive from certain faiths, particularly around mindfulness and self-focus, those things tend to be beneficial no matter which direction you end up going. However, that good thing can become problematic because in a lot of faiths, there's a purpose to mindfulness or prayer. And without that, you can end up losing the overall benefit by mimicking a small part of it. Now, I mentioned this next point earlier in this episode where spirituality doesn't always turn around into long-term benefit. Spirituality can actually be dangerous in therapy, and I don't mean physically or emotionally dangerous. I mean it can be dangerous to your progress in therapy. And here's what I mean. When someone says they're spiritual, initially I say, well, sure, everybody's spiritual, but what does that mean to you? And one of the things that I found spirituality means to a lot of my clients is it's a deferment from personal responsibility. Now, is that true of everybody? No. But in a lot of cases I've seen, people decide to, outside of therapy, not engage in accountability, hard questions, or facing the big things in life by utilizing spirituality. Well, I don't ask bigger questions of other people because I'm just spiritual and it's my own thing. In some senses, yeah, I get that. In other cases, that is mighty convenient to not have to engage with other people in bigger questions. The other danger that I see in spirituality is it ends up being non-committal. It's this detour with no end. So I'll ask somebody, how are you engaging in these deeper questions of yourself? As you're exploring what it means to be human and what recovery or progress looks like, how do you see yourself in the world around you? And in spirituality, a lot of people go, I don't know, which, sure, that's something we could talk about in therapy, but it really isn't a great answer for the other 6 days a week that you're not talking to a therapist. So can spirituality be good? Of course. It can also present a large danger in therapy. Now, moving to religion or faith, this can be a good or bad thing. I have met clients who have a religious belief that is highly limiting. And what I mean by that is not that they have this quote-unquote open mind to all experiences. That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of that can actually be really dangerous because if you have a faith that believes in all things, that doesn't really sound like faith. That just sounds like spirituality with extra steps. So religion can be good or bad thing. I have seen it, I guess let's start with the bad, in clients that are unable, are unequipped, or refuse to ask bigger questions or meaning. This is where religion and faith can be a very harmful thing. There are certain sects of all kinds of faith that block you from asking bigger questions. Authority is not the problem here. It's the ability to ask a question. And if you cannot ask questions, then you sit in anxiety and uncertainty. Now, on the good part of this, there are wonderful tenets that you can connect to in religion because as your therapist, I don't have to be the arbiter of good and bad. I can ask clients to look to their faith and answer questions through there. For the most part, religion talks about self-accountability and engagement with others, which are fantastic things to do, especially when you're not in therapy. If you're engaging with the people around you, chances are you're not hyper-focused on yourself. So using those tenets is incredibly helpful. If you engage in faith and religion as it prescribes itself, it can be rather communal. Many people find life and direction. They find support and community connection through their faith. You know, people can say, well, in my faith circle, I found my realtor, found my best friend. We found our contractor and our dentist. Now, I would imagine that that's a really good thing because people tend to give a little more grace to one another when they feel like they share some sort of connection in faith. To go back to the other difficult thing, though, I've also seen some high levels of rigidity. And I don't just mean this in conviction. I mean that people can be highly rigid in those internal questions. I spoke just a second ago about the inability to ask greater questions to others, to leaders. I also see rigidity in people who are religious inside of themselves. They refuse self-reflection and they do not want to be introspective. And they use religion as a shield from that. If I were to recall or imagine some of this, it's very easily seen when I ask a client, well, what does this mean to you? Or what would happen if you're open and you just thought out loud? Not that you would betray the basic tenets of your faith or betray your conscience, but what if you just thought out loud? And some people will use their religion as a farce, as a shield for their own insecurity. You can't talk about those things because my higher power says not to. And chances are the higher power doesn't actually say that, but people sort of flash it as a red card to their therapist to say, well, can't talk about that because my God says so, and you're not better than my God. So obviously there are pros and cons. Let's talk about where I think most of the positivity and where I think a lot of the benefit is. If you've been paying attention and you're not just listening to the last few minutes of this podcast, I think you've probably got an idea of where I generally like to lean with clients. Yes, I prefer having religious clients. Now, that doesn't mean that I prefer highly rigid religious clients, although I do enjoy difficult cases and clients who are resistant. Maybe that's because I'm a glutton for punishment or my love of Socratic questioning. I'm not entirely sure. But religious clients tend to be the ones who are in therapy the least amount of time. Is that because religion is the end-all be-all of growth? No, but it asks them to do something outside of session. They have to leave my office and go do something. They have to go think about something. They tend to have a community to ask other people. As well as sometimes therapy can get lost or sometimes boring for people. And religion's an easy way to ask bigger questions. I can ask a client something as easy as, well, what is your faith? Or what does your God say about what we're doing right now? This isn't a chance for me to argue about which faith is the most viable or the one that has the most to say about a certain situation, but it does invite this outside idea into the therapy office. This is something that we can talk about, something we can work with, or sometimes even against. Religion also provides an easy access to outside community. Of course, this needs to be tempered to some degree. There are some religions that are obviously more supportive than others. Let's just take a pot shot at one of the easy ones here. Let's just go with Scientology is a bad religion. Do I say that because I hate people who believe in Scientology? No. But the basic assumption is pay us a lot of money and talk to no one. I'm going to go ahead out on a limb here and say that's not very communal and engaging. Okay? It's not what I'm talking about. When I mean access to outside community, I mean something that is open and engaged with people that are willing, people that are open. Religion can also help someone ground outside of session. This is something that spirituality can do in a limited sense, but religion tends to do a much better job at grounding people because there's something or someone to pray to, something or someone to go to outside of session, because at a certain time of day, my work phone goes off. I don't take calls during sessions. I don't respond to emails on the weekends. But if you believe in something greater out there, they will probably answer you in a more consistent and a more open engagement than I would outside of session. The last thing that I'll say about religion and spirituality is spirituality can be helpful in the sense that spirituality is useful in how you express your beliefs. Many people have beliefs in religions or faiths, but the way that they express it can be worded as spirituality. You know, a lot of people have similar religious beliefs, but how they live them out is drastically different. Western and Eastern versions of religions are very obvious. Even those that claim to have the same holy book or expectations or beliefs in the East and the West, so they're very differently practiced. I would say in those cases, people have the same or similar religion, but how they spiritually express that is very different. And so if you are someone who is wondering how faith and spirituality can play out for you in therapy and in your own growth, I would ask you to consider, what are the boundaries or expectations that you have? Do you have an unfair view of faith or spirituality because of your past? If that is the case for you, are you going to let that possibly inhibit your growth? Could a harmful childhood experience be something that you leverage to not have to engage in a discussion of a higher power or spirituality? Are you going to let something that happened when you were younger dictate how well you can cope in the future? If you are figuring out what this looks like for you, I would applaud you in either direction. Simply understanding that there's bigger things out there is important, even if you don't believe in a specific deity, to understand that there's a larger community and a group of people outside of you is incredibly grounding. You can go under this expectation that you are not as important as you sometimes think you are. Why is that? Because there's 8 billion other people out there. You cannot be the center of this universe because there are 8 billion other centers of the universe. That's not how that works. So even if you go outside of a religious or faith-based view of the world, it can't all be about you. And so for a lot of people, spirituality is community and family. It's something where you sacrifice and engage with others. And for that, I would applaud because I think that's a very healing thing, especially outside of therapy. I know you've heard my leaning in all of this, and I don't think that's me being biased. I think that's me being honest. I think that's what I've seen in my own life and through my clients. And my hope for today is that you honestly look at your understanding of faith and spirituality. If you want to engage in faith in a direction that is supported by myself, something that I've worked through, you can find my new book, To Those With Faith, and you can look through that, and I give specific examples of what I believe and why I believe it. I don't just ground it in because I feel like it, because I said so. I reference outside material, and you can see how even a therapist uses outside faith to ground and give direction. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you gained something from today's episode. If you feel the need, you can leave something as a tip to help pay for the production of this podcast. If not, I hope you subscribe and share this episode with people around you so they can find hope and healing for themselves as well.